C1S, number 22B.
Well, because principle has a Christ idea. On that account, because principle has a Christ idea, there is going on discovery in the universe. It's not because mortals are very eager to discover something that the discovery is being made. It is because principle has a Christ idea, and principle impels through the whole universe the idea of discovery, the idea of revelation, the idea of new vision that is breaking in on thought. And so I like to think that because life has a Christ idea, that because of that there is that spontaneous creation everywhere, the spontaneous springing up of new ideas. And therefore, we are not really being inventors of anything. But what is happening is that in being there is the fact of life. But the fact of life is not only self-existent, it is also self-expressed. And so the more I am willing to receive that and accept that and conceive of that, the more the Christ idea can do its work as life. Or I like to think of truth, because truth has a Christ idea. Only because on that account, man is approaching more and more the Christ standard, the Christ manhood. It isn't because we try to improve the mortals in order to reach a higher standard that we are a better man. The law of grace is bigger than that. The more we can see, oh no, I just let the Christ standard of manhood operate and accept that is that dynamic power which will force everything within us to accept the higher standard. Or in love, we can see, because love has a Christ idea, because love translates itself to the human as the Christ idea, we can't escape salvation. There is no way how to escape salvation. This is a comforting sense that comes to us, because humanly we are striving to reach heaven, we are striving to earn heaven, and we are inwardly afraid that we could miss it, that we could miss salvation, that it would not fulfill itself in us. But that all that falls away if we grasp what is meant by the Christ idea. If the Christ idea is the only dynamics that is going on, is the only dynamic of reality which is functioning in the spiritual and in the human, then we can be sure that we can't escape salvation, that we can't miss the mark. Everything will be put into the service of the one plan of God. So I think it's necessary once to be aware what is the difference between thinking rightly and to accept the Christ idea. But if to accept the Christ idea is necessary, we have to be clear first what is meant by the Christ idea. If we look at it from the third side of the holy city, we naturally see man as the Christ idea. What is the man as the Christ idea? Well, how can man be one with the Christ idea? In earlier times, through the law of Moses, through the thou shalt and thou shalt not, there was a way given how to approach more and more the standard of man being the Christ idea. The New Testament brought a higher method of grace, superseding the law, grace that is from above, and we receive grace and faith and hope and love. But today, Mrs. Eddy says that the way is atonement, that she says that Christ has rolled away the stone, what did she say, the stone from the door of human hope and faith, or so on, and has elevated us to the possible at-one-ment with the idea of man and his divine principle love. So today, the method is going higher and higher, from the law over grace to the scientific unity which exists between principle and idea, and therefore which exists between which exists in this possible at-one-ment with the idea of man and his divine principle. So that today we can see that man is another term for the idea of principle. And that atonement is one of the highest atonement we perhaps can conceive of today. To atone with the fact that we are nothing else but the idea of the divine principle. Then we can see that we have the mind of Christ. As the idea we are having, we have the mind of Christ. So that our birthright really is to have that mind which is God, to have no other mind but that mind which is God. Well, to have that mind which is God means to have the mind of Christ, to have that mind which saves, which heals, which frees. It's the liberating Christ consciousness which is our true birthright. We are not going to inherit heaven and inherit our true manhood. We are it. Right from the beginning, we are the Son of God. And as the Son of God, we express the Christ mind in its fullness, in its mission of saving. Only on that ground can we heal somebody. How could we heal somebody except through being and having the mind of Christ? But the question is, from the standpoint of the human, how to have that mind of Christ, how to be aware of possessing the mind of Christ. And as we saw before, or I mentioned before, John Dolly would point out again and again, what is necessary is to receive it, to accept it, to conceive it, and let it unfold. So in through this measure, we claim no other mind but the mind that is God. We accept for us no other mind but the mind that is God. We welcome and receive and conceive of no other mind existing as that which is God. Then we put on the mind of Christ, the saving mind of Christ. Well, in the measure as I sit down and I'm still within myself and put away everything that is human and just turn to contemplate that nothing is going on but the self-existent and self-expressed God, that man is nothing else but the idea of God, that this idea partakes of the nature of God, the nature of Christ, that therefore my whole being is only Christ in action, then this Christ begins to operate as me, as us, as all. Then there is nothing left in a material way, in a human way, that could stand in the way of the ever-operative action and dynamics of being. So that I begin to see that man is mind in operation, that man is spirit in operation, that man is soul in operation, that man is nothing else but the idea of principle in operation, that is the idea of life in operation, the idea of truth in operation, the idea of love in operation. And the more I begin really to see that, that naturally brings with it the fact that this is the Christ to every situation. It begins to analyze the false concept of mortal manhood, the false concept of any situation. It is the innate nature of my Christ mindedness, if I may say so. It is the Christ mind within me that is analyzing a situation, uncovering a situation, freeing a situation, resolving a situation. And I begin to feel the whole God is operating as mind and as the mind of Christ. This frees us naturally of the belief that we as mortals have to do something. That brings in all those arguments which say, yes, this is wonderful, but how can you translate that into your human problem? How can you live that in your human life? You have to apply it to your problem. No. No. The moment we reach science and work from the point of view of science, then it is quite a different proposition. Then it is that the Christ applies itself, that the Christ translates itself, that the Christ lives itself. And we only can let it be. But naturally this letting be is no fatalism, because it's one's conscious, constant union with the mind of Christ, which knows by one's own consciousness, by one's own sense of the mind of Christ, what is operating. That only the mind of God is operating, that only the Spirit of God is unfolding, that only the soul of God is identifying everything. And so we are not in danger in falling into blind fatalism where we just let things go as they come along. We then have the reins of government in our hands. We sit down on the right side of God and judge the world. Then we are able to rule with God in divine science. So one of these great points really would be to see how the Christ idea is living itself, that we are the living expression of God, the experience of God. We are not going to live God, but God lives us. We are not going to apply God, but God applies us. And this is certainly demanding much more to let God apply us and just try to apply God. Because when God applies us in life, just as we have seen in theology, then life really has that impulsion on us which just doesn't leave anything upturned in our whole makeup which is not within the plan of the Christ idea, which is not leading to the one goal of the Christ idea. So from the Christian point of view, it demands much more and has much greater demands on our mortal sense and human sense of life if we accept the higher method of treatment or a higher method of working from the point of view that life lives us, because then we can't back out anymore. Then the one life lives us. Then the one soul translates everything within us which needs to be translated. It will overturn and overturn until it comes whose right it is. There is no backing out anymore. We can try it, but it won't do. If we are in earnest to see that it is the acceptance of the Christ idea as life that is at work, then we certainly have to get rid of all that is unlike life. Well, perhaps we could look at the fourth side of the Christ idea and see what means the Christ idea from the point of view of science. Well, the Christ idea has always come to humanity, but today it doesn't come as a person, it doesn't come as a Moses, it doesn't come as the prophets, it doesn't come as a man Jesus. Today it comes as the calculus of ideas. I think this is the Christ idea as science today. Can we see, and this is really then coming to a climax, can we see that all what is going on as the expression of God, that's the Christ, as the expression of God, having an idea, a Christ idea, having an idea, what idea is science? Namely, the infinite calculus of being. Then we begin to realize, oh, then really our consciousness should only take into consideration the infinite working of principle and idea in its infinite categories of science. Then we make that enormous flight, the enormous exalting point where we leave all the old concepts behind, all concepts of God and man and so on behind, and see, oh, what the Christ today wants to do, and what is the sign of the time, is that today the Christ idea is saying, I am an infinite calculus, working only in terms of ideas, and in nothing else. So that from the highest point of view, God says, I have an infinite ideal. That ideal is life, truth, and love. But that infinite ideal of life, truth, and love is God's idea. That is, God has the idea set out to bring out life, truth, and love in infinite ideas, in infinite ideas of manifestation, so that the ideas of life, truth, and love appear in every manifestation, in every facet, in every combination, in every relation, in all the infinite calculus of being, that appears. And it shows that because these ideas are the ideas of God, they are omnipotent, they are omniscient, they are omnipresent, they are omniactive, and as such, they are certainly constantly analyzing, uncovering and annihilating or dissolving anything that is opposed to it, every so-called material belief, and so replaces in consciousness the what we would call the thought matrix with the idea matrix, the matrix of ideas. So that finally we are lifted out of the conceptual sense of being, of that type of consciousness which is still thinking in thoughts and in concepts, that we are exalted out of that and really expelled out of that realm into the realm of the matrix of ideas. And then we are in reality. So that the Christ idea as science is leading us into true reality, the reality of ideas.